It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Money for Lunch. I'm in the midst of getting over this little cold that I got, and so every now and then you may catch a little wisp of me coughing or of simply dead air because I'm hitting the cough button. That. All right, good to have you here. Man, we're going to get your weekend off with a boom, with a bang, if you will. My first guest, Terry Delvecchia. Terry Delvecchia is a career coach with 35 years of corporate information technology, 5 years of transportation management. Terry traveled to 10 countries within 4 continents as an IT director and enjoyed working with other cultures. Because of her background, she is very comfortable coaching via Skype or FaceTime with clients outside the U.S. Her traveling and working with her diverse department is actually what led her into coaching. She realized that she received more enjoyment working with people one-on-one than learning more about technology. Terry Delvecchia, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you for having me, Bert.
Now, you know, I just realized I'm looking at your spelling. Is it Delvecchia or is it Delvecchia?
Delvecchia. Of
Delvecchia.
In Italian. Of the old. Yes, Delvecchia.
Delvecchia. All right. Well, welcome, welcome. All right. So here you are. You're an IT nerd, for lack of better terms. And you kind of did the opposite of what most IT people do, and that is you fell in love with people versus technology.
Well, and I've always been a people person, and people were – most people that met me and knew how long I'd been in IT were kind of surprised because I was never the backroom geek, throw the food under the door type of person. I always did well with people. I just happened to like logic also.
Right.
And got into IT very early in my career and kind of stayed there, except for that 5 year in transportation, which sort of an anomaly, but I love that too.
Interesting. Well, yeah, and it sounds like you're the kind of person, just, you know, from talking to you the few seconds that we have and looking at your background, that you kind of just, you know, you seem like you're up for an adventure, right? Because you go from
Absolutely.
IT to transportation, and that just, again, is a misconnect.
Yes, it is. I love challenges, and I do not like being bored at work. So in my IT career, I would swap. I went from like applications to operations, and did that kind of thing, and then I flowed into international. And it part of it is it was all a new challenge. I don't mind learning something new. To me, that's kind of fun. And in one of the jobs that I had, I was in IT and they needed a transportation manager. They couldn't find someone that fit with their culture. They decided maybe it's easier to have an existing manager who knows our culture, train them in transportation. And that's how I ended up there. Another challenge, which is fine with me.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, you know, that's to me, that is a, What a fun adventure, right? I mean, first of all, you were, you know, you obviously were well known in that company. They said, hey, you know, let's look at Terry for this. And you said, yeah, let's go for it. And so, you know, to me, it says a lot about you. It says a lot about the company that you're with at that time. And so, yeah, that's great though. It's great because I think that makes life a little bit more fulfilling. I mean, to be able to stay in the same space, like you were mentioning in IT, and go from, you know, from this side to that side to all the different dimensions of IT, and, you know, that makes IT that much more fulfilling, that much more fun, and it makes you more valuable because you know all the ins and outs of it. You're just not, like you said, you're not just the one, you know, you're not the backroom geek that only specializes in one area.
Right. And to me, I'm all about the engagement and passion and fulfillment of a job or career. And if I'm not fulfilled or if I'm no longer passionate about what I do, color me gone. It just, I can't do it. I have to be able to give my 100%. And when you're, you know, so as when I went into coaching, it was because the last couple career moves I had made at the last company that I was with, which happened to be a very well-known spice company in Baltimore, when I did the international piece, I truly loved that. And part of it was learning about the cultures and working with all the people. And when I came back, and you can only do that so long, there's a lot of travel. You're in town for 2 weeks, you're on a plane and 12-hour time difference, whatever. It gets old very quickly. So a couple years of that, and you're kind of almost burning out, even if you do love it. So when I realized that the role that I came back into, they created something different, I really didn't like it. After 6 or 8 months, I realized this is not me. I am now doing something that is not in my wheelhouse. They're not utilizing my strength. And I decided I can't do something if I'm not engaged. And I decided to leave. And that's when I decided that someone had actually mentioned coaching to me because it was not even on my radar.
Right.
And I ended up going and getting, went to classes, got my certification, opened my doors, and now I'm really doing something I love. And I realize that I can help other people, create that positive change, realize that if they're not doing something, if they hate getting up on a Monday morning, there's something wrong. Time to move on.
Right, right. No, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that a lot of us have been there. There's that job that we hate. I mean, we start getting that weird feeling in the pit of our stomach Sunday evening, and it's time for you to take action. It's a sign. It's a sign that you're probably going to put yourself into disease or a heart attack or whatever because you're in the wrong job, or maybe it's the right job but the wrong company, the wrong environment. And either way, it's time for you to make a career change.
Absolutely. And sometimes it was the right job and exactly as you said before, but maybe leadership changed. Maybe you no longer respect who you're working for, or they added so many things to your role that it isn't hitting your strengths anymore. And so now you're in a box where you can't, challenges or not, if you can't do the job because they make it so tough for you to do the job, there's something wrong, which means your morale goes down. And you're exactly right. All that stress causes problems internally. Absolutely causes problems. So if
right.
you're not liking what you do, and a lot of times you figure, well, but it's scary. It is scary to make a change. No doubt
it
about it.
It's not, especially.
It's harmful to stay.
That's right. And you know what? And let me tell you, when you have a family and you provide for that family, it makes it that much more difficult. Also, not to mention that sometimes we think that our age makes a difference, and maybe it does. I don't know. I know that a single person in their 20s has a lot more flexibility, at least in my imagination, than, let's say, a 50-year-old married with kids kind of a person maybe not have the same flexibility. Or am I wrong? Am I just being limiting?
Well, no, you're not really being limiting, but you're not really seeing a bigger picture. There are lots of jobs out there for all ages of all types. It's finding what hits your buttons, what turns you on, what do you really want to do, and finding out what your skills and your abilities are and what your likes. So what didn't you like about the other job? Well, let's not look at that. So let's look at what you did like, and that's what you're aiming for. And yeah, if you're 75 years old, it might be a little tough, but then you're probably not looking for a full-time job anyway. But, you are correct. I think it's a little scarier for the person who's still got kids in college or,
yes.
The roof over their head and they're on their second mortgage or whatever it happens to be. But nobody said quit now. You can keep your job whether you're happy or not until you find something. But the idea of looking for something, changing that perspective, puts a different light in your eye. It lights
yes.
up your heart and your brain because you realize you're not stuck where you are. You're actually doing something about it, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Here we are. We're in December. A lot of people are slowing down, wrapping up. Is this a a really good, I mean, is this a good time to be looking at, you know, at the job market, or should people postpone it until January, you know, or what's your take?
Don't ever postpone it. There's this old saying, and I don't know where it came from, that the worst time to look is around now. If you look out on any of the websites out there, there are thousands of jobs. They're hiring now, like they will hire in January, just like they hired in November. It's, you know, the jobs are available. The right person has to apply, and they get the job. I have lots of interviewing techniques for people. You know, one of the interesting things is, and I'm just going to put this in as an aside, people are afraid of the interview, too. They're terrified of going on an interview. So even if you send your resume in, so you've gotten through the hard part, and now they call you in for a job, January, February, April, doesn't matter. Now what do you do? And people are scared to death that they're, you know, first of all, it's a conversation and it's two-way.
Right.
They want something from you. You want something from them. But if you don't do any work or, you know, do information gathering on the company, why should they hire you if you don't care about where you're going to work? So you need to do a little bit of information gathering. You need to come prepared. Go in there with a pen and a pad. You don't go in empty-handed. You go in with a new resume. You act like you care, and remember that you want information from them because they need to sell you on the company as much as you need to sell yourself to hire them, for them to hire you. So if you think about the interview, too, it doesn't make it as scary either.
Right.
That's not a reason to not look for a job.
Well, and again, to me, this may be a call to action. If you are scared of the interview, but you know that you have the skills, then you might need some coaching, right? I mean, that's really, to me, a call to action. Because to me, personally, I love the interview. I know that I can go in there and I'm going to be able to build rapport and I can be engaging and it's going to be fun. Now, what I find really kind of difficult nowadays, I have a couple of kids who are in the job market, we're in the job market. And when I was growing up, I could send a resume, even back then you would do it via fax or drop it off or whatever. But even when the internet came into play, you could send somebody a resume, call them up, follow through, whatever. Nowadays, it seems like, Terry, that's like almost impossible, trying to find the person, because everything is an application. So do you have any shortcuts or tips or strategies for how to deal with that? How do you separate yourself from the packs of people applying for the same job when everything is done so kind of robotic?
It's made it much harder. Because you go into a queue and there are algorithms for some of the larger companies that look for the keywords in your resume, and that's where even a coach can help with that too, because we know what you need to have on a resume. If you're a good career coach, you do some consulting on, you know, it's not just pure talking back and forth like normal coaching is. Career coaches are sort of a consultant also, because they help with your resume. They help with trying to figure out how you get yours shown as opposed to somebody else's. What makes yours stand out? And they help you with your social media, because once they do look at your resume, most of the time they also go and see where you are on LinkedIn. Would you have a Facebook page? So we have to make sure that your Facebook page doesn't hurt you and your LinkedIn helps you. All that matters now, where 10, 15 years ago it didn't exist.
It seems to me that it's just so interesting. And, you know, I remember right about a year ago, January, February of last year, one of my kids was looking for a part-time job while he's finishing up college. And there's a help wanted there at our local CVS store, you know, help wanted, no experience. And I thought, oh, you know what, there's a help wanted sign. And it gave me the false pretense that you would actually interact with the person. And so when I, you know, so my son shows up to apply for the position, and what they did is they said, oh, great, just, you know, go to this kiosk, fill this out, we'll, you know, and we'll get in touch with you. So it's changed so drastically that, you know, I think that this, you, as you mentioned, these algorithms, you know, they just, what do you call it? You really have to pay attention. The resume now has become really a different, even I would say a more valuable tool than it used to be.
Yes. And your resume, you know, you can't have one resume and send that exact resume out for every job. You've got to change the resume to match the job that you're applying for so that the keywords are different. The summary might be a little different, or your objective, you know, so that it's not just the cover letter. The resume has to match. And
yes.
So it takes a lot more work. It's a very different time right now.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of the resume matching, your LinkedIn profile better match.
Well, no, but yes, that's true. But it can stay a little bit more static. But where LinkedIn helps you is, you don't want to send a multi-page resume, but you can put as much stuff in LinkedIn as you want. So you expand those things. You have more bullet points. You have the ability to add the extra stuff in there of certifications or anything else you want people to know about that they can find on your LinkedIn profile that might not be in your resume. And that is very important.
I like that. I like that. Let me ask you this. Okay, so we've talked about your background. Here you are, IT and transportation. And what was the aha? What was the inspiration for you to focus on career coaching versus something else?
Well, when I was in at ITEC, and that's the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, that's where I got my certification and everything. One of the things that they said early on in the classes was, your niche, however you want to say it, will find you. And what's interesting is in my class, you know, we're all kind of worrying about, some people knew exactly what they were going to go into. They were going into sports coaching or whatever it is. I had no idea except that I wanted to help people through change. So I thought, okay, transition coaching. But that's too broad. And the first few people that came to me for coaching as clients all wanted career coaching. So guess what? My niche found me, and I realized I was good at it, you know, and I've been there, done that, and because change does not bother me, I can help people work through that in a career. So I help people with their encore careers, if they're older, I love that term, encore career, or just change, you know, working with somebody now who's 24, doesn't like what he's doing, okay, let's work on that. So it's just, I realize that's my thing.
That's cool, and I like that. I really, really like that story. How your niche literally found you. It's a neat way when things happen like that. They just kind of organically roll out.
Exactly right, and that's exactly what happened. So then I decided, okay, well, if that's what I'm going to do, let's create career programs, and that's what I did. So that's, you know, I sort of started tailoring things towards career.
I like it. I like it. Okay, now you work with people across the nation, across the planet. Tell us about your clientele.
Okay, my third client was somebody from Mexico, and so that was actually. I have somebody in Italy right now and Mexico and then the rest of the U.S. But, well, I have one in Canada too, so there you go. But Mexico was very interesting because it's somebody I connected with on Facebook and that I had known previously, you know, that and worked with off and on like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
In an IT capacity. And they sent me an inbox message saying, do I coach people outside the U.S.? And I said, you know, yes, as long as you have FaceTime, Skype, you know, especially when English is not the first language, you do want to do face-to-face on a video conference so that you can make sure that there's an understanding, that, and you don't get that just on a phone call. So if I am coaching anybody and English is not the first language, I will always recommend Skype or FaceTime. But anyway, so I said, why would you come to me, and is there any problem? And he said, when he was looking for a coach in Mexico, because after reading my stuff on Facebook, he realized coaching would be good for him, a career coach. And he started interviewing people in Mexico, and they did not seem as passionate. They weren't engaged. They weren't upbeat and positive. And he thought if I would coach him, he would go to me, and he just does it via Skype. So I've been coaching him for like 6 months.
Cool. That is cool. And so this person reached out to you via Facebook.
Yes.
Nice. And go ahead.
I have a so I have like my own personal Facebook page, but I have a Thrive Life coaching page, and I put stuff out there all the time. You know, like pictures of positive things, or I've got some videos about stress out there that, you know, 30-second videos, very quick ones, because nobody wants to listen to something that's really long when it's just a video-ish thing. And he was liked the positivity in the stuff that I was writing. But what I found fascinating is that he didn't really want to work with any of the coaches that he met or spoke with in Mexico, Mexico City. I thought that was fascinating.
What it boggles my mind, but it goes to show you that people are really connecting, with you, right? I mean, I have a client in New Zealand. It's like, come on, that's ridiculous, right? It's like, and what really started broadening my acceptance of this is, for about a year, I worked for Fox Philly News, and so I was on there every week for Fox Philly, and at that time I'm living in Houston, Texas, and so I would drive to the Fox News station in Houston, and they would beam me a satellite to Fox Philly.
Wow!
It's like this is about as ridiculous as it can get. But you know what? When somebody likes you, they like you, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, so the time difference for you and New Zealand, what is it, 14 hours or at least 12, right?
Yes, yes. And they call me on my schedule. So I think it's like 4 o'clock in the morning for them a day early or something. I can't remember what it is. But again, thanks to Skype, the world has shrunk in a lot of ways.
Yes. I mean, when I was doing the operations, the international, I had some managers reporting to me in China, Australia, South Africa. Now, South Africa and Europe, 6-5 hours, you know, depending on UK or not, was easy compared to China and Australia. So in Australia, so I was the director. I was trying not to put them out as often. So it would be 9 o'clock at night. I'd be sitting in my office, glass of wine. It would be, 9 o'clock in the morning for them, and they're having their coffee, and we're doing our biweekly chat. You do what you got to do.
Absolutely. And again, it goes to show you, so if somebody's listening and they are thinking they can't do the interview because it's out of state, or they can't, they can't grow their business because whatever, you're only limited by by yourself. I mean, because really,
that's exactly right.
You mentioned FaceTime. Yep. There is Google Hangouts. We've talked about Skype. There is the old technology, the phone. There are so many ways to connect with people nowadays, it's ridiculous. And I also want to go back to what you were saying about how you do stuff on your Facebook page, where you do short videos, uplifting messages. It's not about just, hey, buy my stuff, hire me. You are giving value, and this person in Mexico saw the value that you were giving and contacted you.
Correct. That's right. And, and for me, there's nothing for people to buy. Either you want a coach or you don't. And my messages out there are free. I've got a blog that I started with some of the interviewing techniques, and then a funny story about, you know, when your job no longer turns you on and has this ever happened to you kind of stuff. And for me, I love humor. So if you're all that 100% serious person and you can't remember the interview with the sweaty palms, which is what I describe in one of my blogs, then I'm not for you. You know, because you got to smile once in a while. It's just life throws you curves, and it's what you do with it that makes you who you are.
Absolutely. Hey, Terry Della Vecchia, thank you so much for stopping by today. It's been a blast. We'll look forward to having you back another time. Again, it's Terry Della Vecchia. Thank you so much for stopping by. Della Vecchia, thank you so much for stopping by today.
It's okay. Everybody gets it wrong. It's fine. It's a long
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Bert.
You bet. All right, guys. Good stuff there. As always, you know, it just amazes me what we're able to do when we break away from our own limits, right? It doesn't matter. Technology allows us to overcome many, many self-imposed limits. You just gotta be willing to take a step forward. We'll be back right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Welcome back. My next guest, Randy Miller. And Randy Miller is a seasoned professional with over 35 years and more than 10,000 hours experience, currently offering life, business, and marriage coaching, consulting, and mentoring. Randy's background includes mortgage banking, sales, land development, residential and commercial construction, management, and leadership. Randy's signature topics include coaching, mentoring, team building, professional communication, the power of personality, as well as a variety of other topics. Randy Miller, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, Bert, it's great to be with you today.
You bet, you bet. Okay, I got to ask you, here you are, I'm reading your intro. And we're talking about life, business, marriage, coaching, but you seem to have a really strong commercial and construction background. So how did you get into coaching?
Yeah, I could hear the smile in your voice when you said marriage coaching. That was an add-on, it seemed like. Actually, you know, probably best to just say my story, because about 10 years ago, I had a heart attack. Major prostate cancer surgery. From there, I headed into a divorce and then out of that. And I didn't flatline, but life seemed to flatten out. And I had a conversation with someone that I trusted who actually was in a mentoring role with me. And he began to give me some coaching that really kind of turned me from where I was. And I began to be reinvigorated again. So, you know, when you hang around long enough, you have a lot of experiences. In fact, when I think about that 10,000 hours, I think, I don't want to say I'm old. Let's just say I'm mature long enough to long enough to have done a lot of different things, but focus also on some areas. And so I love to encourage other people. So in answer to your question, I saw a way, and my mentor coach began to suggest to me, this is something that you could take all of your background and experience and help other people, encourage other people, and help give them direction and hope as well. So that's kind of how I got started in coaching.
Gotcha. You know what, and I want to emphasize a little bit about marriage, because to me marriage is such a sacred organization. It really is. And I think that, you know, marriage in general is under fire. Certainly traditional marriage is under fire, but I think marriage in general, it seems like, you know, it's really, I don't know, by some people's standards, marriage seems like to be such an antiquated situation. I think that our communities are stronger when we have good, strong marriages. And so I'm glad that there's people like you out there helping us married people stayed married and working through our little ego problems that sometimes arise out of a marriage.
Well, we focus often on what our needs are rather than what the needs and desires and hopes and dreams are of our partner. And I kind of applied a similar perspective, Bert, to not only marriage coaching, but coaching in general, is that often, we've all heard that phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees. The wonderful thing about a coach is a coach can see the forest and the trees. So a coach can see the bigger picture. And when I'm sitting with a couple, or whether it's an individual in a business coaching environment or life coaching environment, I can step back. I'm not emotionally invested in what they're emotionally invested in, and I can listen. I can listen for key thoughts, words, values, perspective, and I can provide some clarity and focus and affirming encouragement and accountability if necessary.
Yes. You know, and one of the things that a lot of people, including myself, I think accountability is one of those things that will make us better. We don't like it. We tend to avoid it. But if you can find somebody or some way of holding yourself accountable, your goals, your achievements will explode.
I agree. When I'm taking on a new client, I ask them three questions. I say, what do you think having a coach will be helpful, or why do you think it will be helpful? My typical answer, the number one answer, often is accountability. And yet, you know, the coach isn't a policeman. The coach isn't law enforcement or coaching enforcement or, you know, production enforcement. Just knowing that you're going to be talking again with your coach and you've set goals, you've talked about some of the challenges, just knowing that you're going to do that ramps that accountability back up the closer you get to that appointment. And so it can provide a degree of accountability without being pressurized, if you will. It's not my goal, and I don't believe it's any other coach's goal to put anyone under pressure to do something. We're there to encourage their own personal life leadership, if you will. And sometimes we need to have someone who can step back, take a look at it, and give us some direction. Sometimes I find myself giving direction to them, but providing direction to other resources. So, you know, I've been around long enough, and I'm a avid reader. I'm a learner. I'm constantly reading, not only for myself and self-application, but in order to provide resources for others and to help others have insight, whether that's in marriage or individual coaching or business coaching.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me ask you this. I'm going to throw a tough question at you. First of all, let me start with the easy question. Now, the easy question is, I'm a big believer that clarity is probably one of the, you know, basic fundamentals of achieving any objective or goal. you know, clarity has a lot of power to it. Agree, disagree?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like, you know, I might say, based on my construction background, I might say I'd love to build a house here. But all kinds of questions come up, not only about the property, but what kind of house is it going to be? What's it going to look like? What color is it going to be? Is it going to be brick, paint, siding? What's it going to be? How many windows are going to be in it? You know, you get down to the details and you say, wow, where are the light sockets going to be inside? You know, I built a home where I placed the light sockets, additional light sockets, so they would be there for the Christmas decorations. You know, so it's like clarity can involve right down to the final details, you know, before you start the construction or as you're beginning construction. So, yeah, clarity is super, super important. One of the things that I ask people to do, which is pretty common, is kind of do that brain dump thing, you know, where if you have a goal, or even if you don't know that you have a goal yet, you're working toward that, you're trying to be inspired. I have them just kind of brain dump and just write. Take a full page. Maybe it has 24 lines on it. Fill that page up. And then I'll say, just the page. Now, what that does is that gives them a target, a numerical target. So it's like 21, 24, whatever it may be on that page. Fill the page up. And your brain goes into gear and you go, oh, yeah, that first five or six are pretty easy. The 6 to 10 or 12, they're getting harder. And then before you get to the end of the page, it's really tough. And then I said, let's go back. Don't stop and try to organize that while you're doing it. Go back. Let's take a look at it. Let's see if we can find themes, ideas, concepts, things that come out more than once. And then that begins to give us clarity and direction about maybe what their passion is, what their interests or values are. And with that, we can begin the process of getting more and more and more clarity. It's like sharpening the focus on the camera so that we can see it perfectly. And then we can set strategies from those values and interests. We can set strategies toward goals that they then can reach toward.
Yes, I love that. You answered my second question, and that is, how do you work with somebody who is not clear as to what they want? What a great way of doing that. You know, you write down these 20 or 30 things, and from there you start looking at themes, as you said, and from there maybe you pull out, you know, you're able to achieve that clarity that we're all looking for.
And as we're talking about those, I'm listening. One of my primary goals as a coach is to listen. And I'm going to listen for things that irritate them, things that make them angry. Because whenever you're irritated about something, that's an indication of your passion. I'm also going to listen for things that they enjoy, stuff that they'll start to talk about. They'll say, oh, yeah, I like this. They may even begin to smile. That really helps to identify and clarify not only what they'll love for them, but what they'll enjoy doing, which will also energize them to get them through the tough spots. And I like to ask people about significant people in their life. In fact, Bert, one of the things I do often in a training session is I'll have someone come up, stand beside me, and I'll say, tell us about someone who's significant in your life, someone who's had a positive, I've had to add the word positive so they don't go off on a negative trail, but I'll say, tell us about this significant positive person in your life. And what we're doing is we're listening for them to say things about the person that they believe are the person's values. What's interesting about that is that if I were to ask someone else to tell about the same person, they may indicate different values, different interests. It's the perspective of the person telling the story. When they add their values, their insights to that other person, they tell us what's important to them by telling the story about someone else. So the list is important. The people and interests in those others around them, even music, movies, things like that, the kind of comedy they like, the celebrities they enjoy staying in touch with, leaders that they respect. As they talk about those people, their values and goals, their perspectives gets clearer and clearer and clearer. I know it has for me. When someone asks me about something, I'll hear myself start to talk about it, and I'll think, oh, yeah, I've got to go write that down. I've got to make a note about that, because it's really good to feel that passion. Rather than just feeling things that I should do, have a passion about what I want to do, what really energizes me and focuses me.
Yeah, no, absolutely correct. And I like that insight. Absolutely makes sense. When somebody is telling you what they like about somebody else, they're obviously doing that because that's the things that resonate with him. That's what they like, and that's what they, you know, the values that they hold, and probably are looking to develop in their own life. Let me ask you this, since you're talking about these kind of personality traits, how does personality impact goal achievement?
I love talking about personality. I often use the DISC, the DISC personality assessment profile, and that's the D-I-S and C. I find that each one of the personality styles affects not only what kinds of goals we may set for ourselves, but how we approach achieving those goals. You know, the person who's that D, the direct doer, task-oriented person, they're going to just dive right in. The I personality, they want others to come along with them. Now, that doesn't mean that the D won't involve others on their team, but they may create a team, but the I is going to find pleasure and joy, and they just need, they want to do it with other people. The S personality will find ways of reaching the goals, but as they gather others around them, they'll often find that they are supporting them. They're a really steady emotional person. They'll start leading by supporting others who are accomplishing or those that they've delegated responsibilities to. And then the C personality, they're going to get these lists, and they're going to be much more cautious. It sometimes takes them a little longer because they're so cautious to make sure everything is correct and in place. Once they're there, once they're on board with it, and they feel confident about it, then it's hard to move them away from their goal. They have this laser ability to look straight ahead and move straight ahead. And so I see it really affecting in a broad way and in very specific ways. Personality affects a lot of things. And if I might real quick go back to the marriage issue, you know, often people look at they'll say, well, that's a man thing or that's a woman thing, but often it's not a man thing or a woman thing. It's a personality thing. Now, that there are traits that you as a man and I as a man, we express as men, and women do the same. But most often, it's really a personality thing. And it does affect us. It does affect the way we achieve. Not that we can, because there are leaders and managers. There are strong people accomplishing great things that are in each one of these categories. So it's not about the category. It's about how they approach their goals and their achievements.
And for those who are not familiar with DISC, it is one of my favorite tools to use. I like using it, especially in the hiring process. And, you know, as you mentioned, DISC, driver.
Yeah, direct, inspiring, supportive, cautious, and there are other words that are associated with that. But it's like if you drew a circle, the top of the circle would have outgoing and the bottom reserved. On the left would be task-oriented people, and on the right would be people-oriented people. So the I and the S are on the full-oriented side. The D and the C are on the task-oriented side. The D and the I are on the outgoing top portion of the disc. And then the C and the S are on the reserved or bottom portion of the disc. So it's a way to offer perspective. I like using it. I'm familiar with a variety of others. In fact,
right.
I used another in my marriage coaching in addition to DISC, which offers a little different insight into the marriage coaching side of things. But from DISC, I've found over using it for probably close to 30 years When I first began to experience it, it was insight into myself. Now I try to use it more as helping me to have insight into others and speaking their language better. It's not just about me. It's about both of us. So how I do things, how I think, what I trend and tend to do. It really is helpful in knowing how the other person is thinking and how and why they respond. So with a couple, I can sit with a couple and we can talk about this this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you, the way I got in, the way I used it, and I think I'm just sharing this for anybody else. As you mentioned, first you wanted insight in yourself, and so that's why I did it. And then I realized that one of the mistakes that I was making is I would hire people that are similar to me, because that's what as you talked about earlier, that's kind of what we attract to each other, right? So I'm really hiring the wrong person. Because I don't need another one like that, like myself necessarily in the company. I need somebody who might be stronger at follow through and has more detail orientation in their personality mix than I do. So when I now hire, that's the first thing I do is, hey, I'm hiring for somebody who is detail oriented. I'm going to make sure they are detail oriented by giving them this DISC test, for lack of better terms. And then that really helps me narrow down that. And the other way that I like to use DISC is when I have a team, when I'm assembling a team, I want to make sure that I have, you know, different personalities in there, because I want to achieve a certain objective as quickly as possible. And by using DISC, you can pick and choose the people to put on that team to get the results more efficiently.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a better balance and perspective, because each one of them are going to come to it from a very different place. In fact, as an example, just sitting at the table, if you will, if you have four people sitting at the table, the S might look at the table and be much more sensitive to the reactions and body language, tone of voice, and so forth in the room. The C may be the same way. The D is going to be much more stay on task, stay to point, drive ahead, and maybe not give as much attention to how the others in the room are responding and whether or not they're on board yet. They may not understand quite yet, but the S across quadrant from the D will sense that more easily than the D will. And so the D can ask the S. You know, the C can look to the I. Typically, the C is going to say, let me get back to my computer and focus on these details, where the I is saying, did anyone order pizza for the meeting?
And then the D is saying, let's go.
right. Because they want it to be more fun. They want to enjoy it with one another rather than only be focused on the task at hand. They definitely are skilled, and they definitely want the task accomplished. They just approach it differently.
All right, so let me ask you this final question. We all have this, you know, internal resistance, right? We have this constant, you know, back and forth that we fight, that little voice in our head telling us maybe that we're not good enough or that we should wait or whatever that voice is telling us. How do you help a client overcome this internal resistance and stay on course?
Well, interesting you would ask, because one of the things that I focus on, well, let's say three. Actually, we talk about goals, and then we talk about that resistance. And I'm constantly listening for resistance. And then the third thing is a sense of confidence. And coupled with that is competence, the idea that sometimes a person needs a tool to do the task differently or better, to feel more confident as they're approaching the task. And it could be something very, very simple. I had one client was trying to make a transition out of they were involved in helping people who have mental disabilities in a residential situation. Now, they loved their work, but they were having to change locations, and there were some life changes that were taking place. And they wanted to get involved more in sales and meeting people and being out and being involved with life. And so they started the process, but they didn't have much success. And we were sitting across from one another one day, and I said, well, let's listen to what you're doing. So they told me about the process that they went through as they made the presentation. And then I said, well, let's focus on what we call a decision-making funnel, the A-B strategy. And most of your listeners probably are familiar with that. My wife and I use it constantly when we say, well, we're going to go to dinner. We don't just go, oh, my gosh, everything's available. I'll say to my wife, I'll say, well, are you more interested in Italian tonight or Mexican? And if she says Chinese, I'm good to go because we've got a decision. Let's move ahead. So if I wanted something, I would communicate that in the beginning, but the A-B part of this simplifies the decision-making process. So I offered it to the client. The client tried it and began to work on it, make it a habit. And as they did, their sales began to soar. And they were thrilled. So the next time we met, they couldn't take the grin off their face based on the success that they were feeling. So here's what in answer to your question, here's what I was listening for. I was listening for what is holding them back. Do they need a tool, or is there something in their background? Sometimes it's something that someone has said, maybe an experience that was a negative experience. Whatever it might be can hold the person back. In fact, when we talked about that list earlier, a person might be thinking something and not put it on the list because they thought a negative thought. They resisted against even writing it on the list. You can't do that. You've got to just do it. Put it on the list. Well, in this situation, if I'm listening for resistance, I want to try to find out what can I do to offer maybe a tool, encouragement, some affirming accountability, something that we can do to listen for and then seize what the challenge is that's draining them emotionally, that's keeping them from moving ahead. And that's just some of what I would do. But the key is listen to the person as they're talking, listening, as they're doing what they do, listen for their resistance and then help them overcome it. Identify it first, accept it.
Right.
In fact, engage in it. Engage in the resistance. Press through it. I had one fellow who wanted to start a brand new business, and he just didn't feel comfortable calling some friends and people that he had worked with in the past to get a positive testimonial that he could use in his business. And yet he knew they would give him a positive testimonial. But he just couldn't get over the hurdle until I gave him a phrase. And once he had that phrase, he rehearsed the phrase over and over. And he could put the phrase in an email, or he could say it to the person he was calling. And once he was comfortable with that, then, by the way, he would be a C in the DISC profile. Once he was comfortable, then he began to flourish. It just took off for him. So that's some of the answer to that resistance question.
Well, I think that was a great answer. I think that was a great answer, and I think that I like the example. Are you more in the mood for Italian or Mexican? You know, that's a great, you know, it's a great way of just taking tiny steps, getting things a little bit clear, as we've been talking about. Clarity is such an important thing.
Bert, one of the funny things that happens between us now is I'll say something about having dinner, and she'll say to me, don't do that A-B thing on me.
Yes.
And then what that means is she says, you decide. So she puts it back with me, which is okay because I'll make a decision. I'm hungry. Let's eat. You know, but to diffuse the emotions, to take the risk out, if you just offer one and then a second, an A and a B, if they choose one of those, it's fine. You know, it's like, do you like the darker color? Do you like the lighter color? Do you like the taller one, the shorter one? Do you like the longer one? You know, which one do you like? I say never more than two, because three complicates. So, that's what we do, and we practice it. We practice it at home a lot. It's one of those things that we can use. It's a tool, a simple tool, but it works in business and in life.
Absolutely. Hey, Randy Miller, we're going to end on that note. I want to thank you so much for stopping by today and wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and looking forward to having you back again.
Right. We'll look forward to having this opportunity to talk with you again and your listeners. Bert, thanks again. I really appreciate the time with you today. Have a great day.
You bet. All righty. Good stuff there from Randy Miller. Man, we covered a couple of great strategies there. How to, you know, move beyond that resistance, how to get some clarity. Both of those would empower you and your business as well as your marriage, your relationships. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.